Now, we're going to go into the scriptures this morning, and I'm going to say this to you. There's been a historical, let's call it what it has been for many. It's been an argument between two positions. One, predestination and election. And on the other side, Arminianism and free will. And most of us are aware that there were those two sides in this historical debate or argument. Let me tell you this. I believe that if they're quoting the scripture on this side, they're right. And if they quote the scripture on this side, they're right. And there is no opposition in the scripture. There's no opposition. But the enemy, seeking to divide so that he may conquer, tries to set people up against one another. And how does he do it? How does he conquer through doing that? I'll tell you how. The one side says, well, I believe this. Oh, well, you believe that? Oh, well, I'll take you to another scripture. What about this scripture? And the other side, well, yeah, what about that? Well, I'll take you to this scripture. And then what's happening is, you see, they are both undermining the scriptures. Can you see how the enemy does it? They both undermine the scriptures through their own pride and perspectives and their own sense of self-importance. God doesn't want us to be like that. God wants us to read the scriptures like little children, so that if it says this in this verse, okay, and it says this in this verse, okay, I believe both. Answer a fool according to his folly, else he will be wise in his own eyes. Should we answer a fool according to his folly? Yes, that's what the scripture says in that verse. But the next verse to it says, don't answer a fool according to his folly. What does it mean? Does the scripture contradict? Never. The scripture doesn't contradict. It means we apply this one at this time. We apply this one at this time. We use wisdom. Now, let me tell you this. This morning, I want to bless you. I want to bless you. I heard a lovely testimony this week. You know, in the Wednesday nights, we've been blessed with some lovely testimonies. And many of them have come from our sister as she has opened up the scriptures and blessed us with those lovely scriptures, our sister Daniela. And she blessed us this week with a lovely, lovely testimony. And part of the testimony was it was regarding Abraham. And in fact, you know what? Come up and share a little bit of that testimony. You can just use this.
Hi, everyone. This past Sunday, Abraham had a birthday party. So we took him to the birthday party. And then by the end of the birthday party, God said to me, I want to show you something, so pay attention to what he's doing. So the guy that he was, you know, doing all the games with the children, he just gathered all the children and said, could you just be together? I'm going to throw all these candies that are here left in the bag. So all the children gather, you know, in like the big circle. And then God was speaking to me and he was saying, look at him. So he positioned himself in the middle of the crowd. So he was like this, waiting for the candies. But then the guy threw one candy, and then I saw Abraham running with the crowd to one side. And then, you know, of course, the one in the corner was grabbing the candy because, you know, it was on this side. And then the second one come, and then he was running to this side because the second one was to this side. And then the guy in the corner, he was grabbing that candy. And then, as a mom, I wanted to go and help him to grab the candies. And then God said, I'm teaching him and I'm teaching you. I'm teaching him how to receive his blessings and I'm teaching you how to wait and listen. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. God is always speaking to us all the time. So, and then I was like there waiting and listening to what God was saying. And then Abraham, I just saw suddenly he went like, you know, like thinking, what's going on? What am I doing? Just running with the crowd. So he just stood there in the middle, and then the guy was throwing the candy, and then instead of running, he was looking at the guy to see for the next one, how he can grab the next one. So after that, he just started to grab candies here, candies there. And then guy was saying, he's grabbing his blessings. He is grabbing his blessing. He is growing in the process of growing and on grabbing the blessings. And he goes along, he's grabbing his blessing, and he's growing, grabbing those blessings. And then I thought, wow. So he grabbed 4 candies. By the 5th candy, because God was speaking to me, so by the 5th candy, he grabbed the candy, and then this girl, she turned, she said, can I have that one? And then he turned and he said, yeah. So he gave it to her. So I thought, oh, that was lovely. And then God said, yes. So at that point, he said, you know, as we receive blessings, we can turn and give our blessing to someone else and be a blessing to someone else. So how can we bless someone if we don't receive blessings? If we are not receiving blessings, it is not possible for us to bless someone else. So as we receive the blessings, we are able to turn and bless others. And then I said, wow, that's amazing. Because he's blessing us, but as his children, we're able to bless others. So, but by the 5th candy, but the 6th candy, so he stood there. And then the guy was about to throw the candy. And then he positioned himself. And then he was like, I think he was even calculating the space. And then he went like this, closer. And then closer. And then when the guy threw the candy, he just went up and grabbed the candy on the earth. And I thought, wow. He turned and he looked at me and he said, Mom, I did it. I did it. And he was so excited for that candy. And it was the same candy as the first one because they're all of those candies were the same. And I thought, that's amazing. He grabbed it on the earth, on the earth. And then God said to me, you know, since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven, you know, is giving blessings by force. His children are taking blessings by force. We have to pray and we have to seek for his face. We have to do the will of God. And as we pray and we worship him and we do his will, we will receive all those blessings like that on the earth. We'll be grabbing blessings on the earth all the time, right here. They're all here. We're just grabbing them. We're just grabbing them by force, by prayer, by being constant in prayer and receiving things in prayer. We are able to receive things right here. We don't have to wait for the blessing to be on the floor and then grab it. No, we can do it here. We can do it here and be a blessing to others.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you.
You can tell she's a preacher. She is a preacher, and she is a good preacher, anointed for that task. And we're very blessed, very blessed. Wednesday nights we have lovely words, very encouraging. I look forward to them. I really do. It's a blessing.
I just remember something else. I finished that day saying that those blessings, because when God teach me something, we always put it on the spiritual realm. And he was saying, as pastors preach the gospel, because that day Pastor Steve called people to the front for him to pray for. And then he said, as Pastor Steve did it this morning, he threw the word of God, the word of blessing to others, and he said, come to the front and receive the blessing. So that's the same thing. So he was saying, when the pastor preached the gospel, preached the word of God, he's throwing those candies out there. He's throwing those blessings. And those blessings are for everyone. The candies that were in the back were enough for more than those children there. And he was saying, as the pastor preached the gospel, as he threw the word of God over there in the field to the children of God, they will be blessed and they will receive. And through the process, they will grow, because not all of them were grabbing the word of God. Amen. But as they grow in God, they were receiving those blessings. Amen. They were receiving those blessings. Some of them were receiving more than others. But doesn't matter how slow you are or how fast you are in the spiritual realm, you will get there. You will receive all your blessings because the good thing that he has started in you, he will finish it. He will finish it.
Praise God. Beautiful. Beautiful. Now listen, this is very important. Aggressive men lay hold of the kingdom. But there are many people who don't lay hold of it. They're not prepared to grab. What they do is they come into church, they sit down, and then they walk out of church and they say, what was it like? Yeah, it's great, yeah. I walk out, they grab nothing. They grab nothing. Nothing. Nada. Nada. They've grabbed nothing. It means nothing. Because they haven't grabbed anything. What they've done is they've just come in passively, and they're just passively, and they sort of feel as if they've dutifully come to church, and that's good, isn't it? They're good little. No. The whole point of this kingdom coming to church is that we lay hold of those truths, and that when we walk out of this place, we walk out different to when we came in. We walk out with the reality of God and what God has spoken to us. But listen, it doesn't come to people who are passive. It doesn't come to people who are just, just going about the same old, same old. It comes to people who say, I will take what I've heard and I'm going to apply that to my life. Like little Abraham, he had to take it. Listen, let me ask you something. Are you going to take what's been told today, or are you going to be passive? Many people, I want the best for everyone. But I've seen this. I give you a practical example of one thing. I remember there was a group of people, when I used to live in London, there was a group of people, and at the time, I had been led to purchase properties. And I'd been led to purchase these properties, and it was going very well. That means the Lord blessed me, and he, it was all him. And he helped me, and he blessed me, and it was really a remarkable thing that he did in my life. Because I went from nothing, living hand to mouth, and calling out to God, reading in the scriptures, it says that I should 100-fold. Well, I'll have 100 houses. That'll be great. And I asked the Lord, and he started, he started something that was a tremendous blessing for me. And I would meet with a group of people in a church. And one time they wanted to meet and talk about properties because they knew that I'd started this property thing. And so there was about probably 8 of them. And 2 of them really took hold of what I was saying. I mean, 2 of them really like grabbed hold of it. And they said, wow, we never thought of this before. This is really something. Speak to us again. Speak to us again. Can I phone you up in the week? Can you come round? Listen, I'll take you out. Let's have a meal. Let me take you out for a lovely meal. What's your favorite restaurant? I'll take you to your favorite restaurant. And they really wanted to get the information from me. They were aggressive about taking hold of it. Well, you know what? Those 2 now, multi-millionaires through property. What I'm saying is there's a practical result to the intention that you have. The intention that you have with the Word of God this morning will have an end result, folks. If you're passive, but if you are laying hold on it, as the Bible says we should, it's going to have a great result. Much better than houses. Because it's a treasure that doesn't perish. It's a treasure that lasts forever. It's an eternal treasure. Come with me then as we begin. And let me invite you to do this. Let me say this to you. Free will, as I've mentioned, and election have been shown to people as an either or. People have said, oh, you either believe one or you believe the other. Listen,
A kingdom divided is weakened, and it's not a case of either or. It's a case of you can believe both. You can believe both. Now, I'm going to switch this off because it's annoying me, and I'm the preacher. So I have control over my environment. It's okay for 20 minutes or 25 minutes or however long we're going to be here. So let's go into the scriptures, and let me share with you. And the reason why I want to share this with you is this. When you get a grasp of your unconditional election as per the scriptures, I'm just going to be quoting the scriptures. I'm not quoting my opinion. And know it clearly that if you don't believe this, then you're not believing the Bible. Okay? So you're free not to believe the Bible, but if you follow Jesus, you should believe the Bible. Okay? It's simple. There's no ifs or buts, no your perspective or this is the Bible that we're going to be looking at. Any prejudice, any previous thoughts that you've had, leave them. Leave them. Listen, don't try and understand everything of God. The mistake that the church often makes is we try to understand everything of God. We can't understand everything of God. The truths of God go beyond our understanding because it's more than we can think or imagine. It's more than that. It's beyond that understanding level. And don't try and pull the word of God down to your understanding. If you do, you won't walk in the supernatural. God wants you to walk in the supernatural blessings and truths of the New Testament. But listen, if you try and pull the scriptures down to your level of understanding, you won't receive all that the scriptures are teaching. And so what I would do is this, and this is a decision of my will that I made many years ago, and I'm so happy that I did, because I didn't believe. No one could convince me that healings, physical healings, could take place. No one could convince me about it. I'd been to Bible college. My friends were all the skeptics. And I was living depressed and defeated and dejected. And I was living just miserable. And then through the testimony and through the witness of someone that I trusted in, I started to believe in the miracles of God. The Bible promises now became my reality. And I made a conscious decision. I actually prayed along these lines. I said, Father God, I don't understand this. I don't understand how I can speak to a mountain and move it. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand how I can lay hands on someone and they can be healed. I don't understand that. But I'm not going to limit my life to the level of my understanding. Rather, I'm going to submit my understanding to the Word of God. Amen. And have a guess what happened. I started a walk in the miraculous power of healing. Now, it's the same in this area, okay? This is the same. And why this is so important is this. It's very important, this. Because the devil has wanted to rob the church of this. And the reason why he wanted to rob the church of it is he doesn't want Christians to realize how very special they are to him. He doesn't want people to realize how so precious they are before him. Because he knows if we start to realize that we are really precious before God, that we are really precious, that we are the elect of God, then maybe we will start to walk in a different way to that which we've been walking in. Because once you get an understanding of your election and the very fact that God himself has called you and predestined you and elected you to salvation, then what happens is you start to walk as an elected person. You start to walk with, hey, God is with me. Before, I thought it was my choice. I thought it was up to me. I thought it was my will. But now, oh no, now I know that it was God. It was God's choice. It was God's will. It was God who did it. And so when I thought the decision was mine, well, hey, I can decide this and I can decide that and I can change my mind. But when I realize that it's not about my decision, it's about God's decision, fundamentally, it changes the whole shift, changes my whole shift and the way I assess things. Come with me quickly. Listen, come with me quickly, and let's go into the number one reason we would embrace unconditional election is because it's true. My dear friends, a study of Romans 9 will show us something very interesting. Listen, Paul was ready to be cursed and cut off from Jesus Christ for the sake of his Jewish brethren. Romans 9:3, he says that. And that implies very clearly that some of the Jews were perishing. And that raises a question of God's promise to the Jews. Has God's promise to the Jews failed? Paul answers, it's not as though the word of God has failed, Romans 9:6. Well, why hasn't the word of God failed? Because not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. In other words, God's promise was not to acquit every individual, every Jewish person. It was instead to show his election, that God elects. So to illustrate the point, he talks about Jacob and Esau. Romans 9, 11 and 12, he says this, though they were not yet born and had done nothing either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls, Rebekah was told, the older will serve the younger. In other words, God's original purpose in choosing individuals out of himself is election. That's his purpose. Out of Israel, yes. Out of all nations, yes. Revelation 5:9, out of all the nations. Romans 9:15, it says, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. Romans 9:16, let's read this together. We'll read a couple of verses. From Romans 9:16, so then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. You'll say to me then, why does he still find fault then? Are you following the argument, folks? Let me tell you something. Wait there. Wait a minute. Don't be a lazy Christian. Now, you follow the argument, follow it in the Bible, and listen, follow it clear, okay? Listen, many times people don't get things from the scriptures because they're not engaging their minds. This isn't, we're not babies, are we? This isn't spoon feed. It's not like milk for a little baby. Come here, little baby, I forced the milk in you. We engage, take it on board, read it, study it. Hey. Is it hot? Very hot. Yeah, it's like this every week in Africa. Like this every week in India, okay? Let's not... Venezuela too, you know. This is no big deal, folks, okay? And they walk, okay? 80-year-old ladies will walk. How long will they walk, Elizabeth, to church? Miles and miles. This is a weak country full of weaklings. We're not weak, are we? We're the church of Jesus. For this very purpose, I have raised you up, verse 17 of Romans 9, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power to make with the clay what he wants, from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What this verse is pointing to is this: God is God.
God's in charge. Who are we? We need to submit to God, to yield to God. But in the vanity of our own minds, we've got ourselves in a higher position than God. Many people in the Christian church say, oh, God's will be done. They say it in a prayer. But they won't agree with what he says in his word. They won't agree. They'll disagree with, oh, well, I don't believe that. How can you follow someone and then disagree with what they say? No, my friends, it's not for you. Your opinion means nothing. It's nothing. My opinion is nothing. What counts is God's opinion on a matter. And our role is to be followers of Jesus and to submit to his word. And this is what he's saying. Verse 20, but indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed to him say who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? Oh, but it's not fair. Oh, that doesn't seem fair. God made some people for destruction, Mark. It's not fair. Oh, it just doesn't seem fair. Fairness has nothing to do with it. Fairness is a modern thing. It's part of the modernization of the church. God is never meant to be fair. He came first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Oh, it's not fair. That's right. Not meant to be fair. But he loves us. He loves us all the same. But fairness, what we do is, you see, I'm saying this because I'm exposing the fact that we impose on God and impose on God's word what we think it ought to mean, what makes sense to us, what seems fair to us. But God says to us, listen, if you want to follow me, here it is. This is it. Now you come and follow. If you don't, then you're on your own. You're doing your own thing. But it's his way, as revealed in his word. He says in verse 23, and that he might make known the riches of his glory. Now get this. This is so that we who follow him can receive the riches of his glory. Because that we wouldn't realize, hey, I am so blessed. I'm chosen. I didn't choose him. He chose me. It's not that I chose. It's not that I, there's like 4 or 5 different religions. I think I'll try this one. No. God chose us, the scriptures say, teaching, which he had prepared beforehand for glory. God prepared us beforehand for glory, even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. And Jesus confirms this teaching. Paul taught this, but Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, the man who went to this cross, the man who died, who shed his blood, that our sins would be washed away, the man who did this, shares this same teaching with us. Come with me now, please. Come and let's look at the Gospel of John. John chapter 6. Jesus confirms this teaching. He says this in John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. All that the Father gives me will come to me. Coming to Jesus isn't a condition we meet to qualify for our election. It's the result of our election. In John 6:65, he says this. This is Jesus. The Father has chosen his sheep. They are his.
and he gives them to the Son. That is why they come. No one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. And in John 15, 16, he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I mean, how clear can it get? It's so clear. And the good news is this. Listen, the good news is this. Because we've been chosen by him, don't allow your mind to go and stray into other things. Oh, well, that means that others aren't chosen. Listen, don't go to those realms. Just stick with what the Bible says. Don't create another narrative to have your faith in. Have faith in what the Bible says. Don't invent your own narrative. Have faith in what the Bible says, because this faith will produce. This produces joy in us. My friends, when we realize how precious we are to God, when we realize that just as I could see your lovely faces, you know, when the children were up here earlier, your faces were a picture. They were just a picture. They were lovely. And you just had that lovely warm look on your faces. And I could tell that you just adored looking at the little children. You just loved it. And it was beautiful to see. But listen, that's how God is looking at us. He's looking at you and me like this. And this is his, because we're so precious to him. We are chosen by him. He's elected us. He's chosen us, elected us, predestined us. And what that means is it gives us a more focused understanding of our calling God. When we take this on board, what happens is we say, you know what? I'm not just an extra. No, God really has picked me. And that means then that when I read Ephesians and it says that he prepared good works in advance that I should walk in, I take that scripture a lot more seriously when I understand this election. It becomes very much more powerful. It shifts our understanding of much of the New Testament when we first take this on board as a foundation. It's precious. My friends, listen. In John 17, 2, Jesus is praying. Jesus is praying. And Jesus says this. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said this. Father, picture now, Jesus is praying. He says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. That's Jesus praying. In verse 6, it says, I have manifested your name to men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. And in verse 9, he says this, I pray for them. Watch this. I do not pray for the world. Wait there. This is Jesus. Jesus is saying he doesn't pray for the world. Oh, there's a whole heap of... we could enter a whole chapter up on this. This is Jesus praying. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. My dear friends, the point is this. I've got so much more to say. We've barely touched through the start of this. This evening, God willing, we'll get there. But let me tell you this. The reason for this is that we would appreciate and understand our position in him. We're not also rans. We've been elected. And when we understand an election, you see, whenever anyone is elected to something, it comes with responsibilities. An election causes responsibilities
to come. We found recently in the election that we've had that the Irish party have now got a voice, the DUP. I was talking at the start of the service, before the service, with Bishop Nadeem, who was telling me about a BBC interview that he heard with one of those party members this week, who was saying that now they're going to stand for Jesus and the gospel because they're a Christian party. And they're going to stand strong. And it looks as if God has put them in a position where they have a voice. My friends, their election means that now they've got a role to play. Your election means that you have a role to play. You're not to be passive. You're not to be living passively through this life. The week ahead is not meant to be lived passively in Jesus. It's meant to be lived actively engaged with Jesus, grabbing the blessings of Jesus, taking those blessings as they come to us, running with those blessings, blessing others on the way, and seeing what God will do in and through your life. You are precious, precious to Him, and He's got great plans for you. Listen, the gifts that He's deposited in this room right now are many. And they're to be a great blessing for this community. And the Lord knows they need it. Amen. Let's stand, shall we? All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and serve Thee in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender. Blessed Savior, I surrender all. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise You, Lord, for that which only You can do. And Lord, if there's anyone in this place, if anyone needs a healing in their bodies right now, put Your hand on that place that needs a healing. And if there's anyone who, and if you, or think of that place in your mind, you can think of that place in your mind, bring it to your mind's attention now. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for the power of the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And Father God, we thank You, and in Jesus' mighty name, for those miracles that are taking place. As You will now, Father God, You and You alone, working those beautiful miracles in Your wonderful name. Father God, we thank You for them now, in Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Come and bring a testimony, please, for what God has done. Thank You, Father God. Thank You, Father God. And Lord, we give You this service then. We give You what's been spoken. Father, we ask that Your will continue to manifest in and through our lives, now and forevermore. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Praise be to God. Amen.